Well, on behalf of Judy Wilcox and her family, I want to welcome each one of you and also thank you for coming today. We're here to remember Denny's life and to honor him, and most importantly, to glorify Denny's Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonathan Spafford is going to come and read a scripture just now.
Well, I don't usually wear gingham and suspenders, but Denny always did, so I thought I'd give it a shot for him. Amongst many things, I think you all know that Denny was an exceptional builder. He built a lot of houses around this area, but the biggest building project that he was involved in, he wasn't in charge of himself. And I want to read a little passage that describes that project. This was spoken by Jesus the night before he went to the cross. He's telling his disciples not to worry. And he wants them to know that he has a plan for them. So it's from John 14, verses 1 through 6. Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." That's the building project I'm talking about. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas, one of his disciples, said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And that's what Denny was trusting in through his life.
Well, if you have your musical bulletins or tableaus, on the second page we have "How Sweet and Awful Is the Place," which we're going to sing together. This was Dennis's favorite hymn. Really, the central point in this hymn is the final words of the second verse into the third verse. "Each of us cries with thankful tongues, Lord, why was I a guest? Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come?" And it's the Lord's grace and mercy that has made us to hear his voice and made us guests in his house. And it's that mercy and grace that really touched Denny's heart and gave him great joy. And it's that same grace and mercy that builds up our hearts and gives us joy in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so let's sing this hymn together and worship the Lord in song.
Within the doors forever last. Judy asked me to share a few thoughts on Denny, and it's my great pleasure to do so. I know in sharing my thoughts, I speak for many of you who knew Denny well. I must say a couple things before I begin. I pray the Lord sees fit to bring me to glory in the same way he did Denny, from my garage, working with my hands to glory in the space of a few hours. What a blessing. And number two, I saw Denny days before his death, in fact, even the night of his death. So the other side of that same coin is the fact that I'm standing up here talking about a dear friend who is now with the Lord. I find it a bit surreal, even with deference to all that the Word of God says about death and the fact that man knows not his time. C.H. Spurgeon shared this quote in his sermon on Proverbs 17:17. Cicero has well said, friendship is the only thing in the world concerning the usefulness of which all mankind are agreed. Friendship seems as necessary an element of comfortable existence in this world as fire or water or even air itself. A man may drag along a miserable existence in proud, solitary dignity, but his life is a scarce life. It is nothing but an existence. The tree of life being stripped of the leaves of hope and the fruits of joy. He who would be happy here must have friends. And he who would be happy hereafter must above all things find a friend in the world to come, in the person of God, the Father of his people. Denny was a dear friend of almost 30 years, and I would like to share three things about him. Some of you have already heard those from Dylan and Jonathan. I'll share my perspective, and it'll be much the same as you would expect. We all knew the same man. First was his love for the building trade. I'm sure there are those in this room who could elaborate and speak in more detail about his affection for building and working with his hands. Denny was always my go-to guy for an initial volley of questions about a building project I was considering. He was very organized in his thinking, asked a question about building something. You never got a random jumble of thoughts, but rather a very structured and well thought out answer. I remember almost 25 years ago asking Denny about the possibility of putting a mezzanine in my garage. We had a garage at the time that had 12-foot ceilings, and it seemed to me that we could take advantage of a lot of unused space in our garage to store more things. Denny, with his calm demeanor and wry smile, looked at the situation and expressed confidence that it would be a project we could easily tackle. With a zip in his step, he went off to Par Lumber, had one of the guys do some engineering, and about a week or so later, a 400-pound glue lamb and a pile of plywood and 2x6s were delivered to my garage. He then came by on the weekend and gave my dad and I some fairly straightforward guidance on how we were going to integrate this now 400-pound glue lamb into the existing structure of my garage. Again, with a calm voice and a wry smile, He pointed to opposing walls on either side of the garage and said, cut away the structure, the 2x4s that seemed to be holding up the second story of my house. And he said, create a hole large enough for the glue lamp and secure it in there. He seemed quite confident that my house wasn't going to fall down, even though it looked like non-trivial surgery. Something I would have never remotely tackled had Denny not reassured me my house wasn't going to fall down. With the benefit of hindsight, the project was actually fairly straightforward, but without Denny's cheerful and eager guidance, it would have been north of overwhelming. Secondly was Denny's genuine love for God's Word. He was always eager to hear the Word faithfully taught. Further, he loved to hear it taught with precision and accuracy. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ and delighted to see him exalted through the faithful teaching of God's Word. A number of times over the years, Denny and I would talk after church. He would look me in the eye with a serious and sober tone and say something like, "My, was that a good sermon? I don't think I've ever heard the gospel proclaimed with such precision." Referring to a sermon by Pastor Will or his grandfather before him. And I must confess, and Denny never knew this, I'll have to confess it when I see him again in heaven, I always felt a bit rebuked by Denny's comments. I either got a bit distracted or perhaps didn't follow our pastor's train of thought quite as well as Denny, but he would express himself with calm and forceful enthusiasm like he'd just partaken in the best, rich, 7-course meal. He would say it almost with disbelief, as if to say, "I can't believe I have the privilege of sitting under the teaching of God's Word and listening to the sermon." Almost like he had been ushered into the throne room of God himself. And number three, as you've already heard from Dylan, was Denny's love for the old hymns of the faith. He dearly loved hymns that exalted the Lord Jesus Christ, humbled man, and magnified the gracious work of the Lord in salvation. And the hymn we just sang, as Dylan stated, was Denny's favorite. He and I shared a common love for this hymn. We would both almost be giddy when we knew it was among the hymns chosen for the services. And again, I know we've just sung it, but let me just real briefly read the first three verses again for emphasis. How sweet and awful is the place with Christ within the doors, while everlasting love displays the choicest of her stores. While all our hearts and all our songs join to admire the feast, each of us cry with thankful tongues, "Lord, why was I a guest? Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come?" Denny would almost weep at the sound of this hymn, as the hymn expressed his deep gratefulness to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished on the cross for him. As this hymn expressed, Denny marveled and his heart burst with thankfulness that he was among those called to Christ in salvation. The third verse uttered the cry of his heart, "Why was I made to hear thy voice?" Shaking his head in complete disbelief that the Lord would call him out of darkness into the light of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Denny was a precious friend, and more importantly, he was a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the words of Thomas after the resurrected Christ urged him to touch the hole in his hands and side. At one point, Thomas uttered words of doubt and wanted to be convinced by touching the holes in the hands and side of the crucified Christ. After doing this, Thomas responded to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying in simple yet astonishingly profound words, "My Lord and my God." Thomas's response captures the absolute marvel that characterized Denny's life. His life was a living testimony to the wonderment he felt in belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Love you, Judy.
All right. Hello, everyone. Thank you all for coming this afternoon. My name is Garrett, and I'm deeply honored to say a few words about my grandpa, Denny, or as a lot of us knew him as Papa. We're here today to remember the life and legacy he leaves on the earth. It was long and simple, never complex, always with good, honest intentions. I'd like to reflect on the person Papa was. I could stand here for the better part of the day and reminisce about all the stories Papa was either part of or he told. And for those who knew Papa, you understand how those stories could be. Often when the whole family got together, whether it be for Christmas, Thanksgiving, or just a nice summer barbecue, Papa would come in, sit down on his favorite chair or stool, and almost prepare his stories in his head to tell us. I learned so much from these stories. Often they would be him involving him serving his country in the Navy, and it would always fascinate me. Other times it wouldn't even be a story at all. He always had to have his crossword handy. Any newspaper laying around the house, he was going to find it, and he was going to finish that crossword no matter what else was going on in the house. I love that because it just shows how even with all the distractions in our wild family, Papa's headspace was locked into the task at hand. I admired him for his patience and work ethic in all of his projects, mainly his woodworking projects. Papa was above all else a godly man and a family man, followed very closely by a storytelling man. He had the ability to have a witty comeback or intelligent remark for almost any conversation, something that he passed on to everyone in the family, or maybe not everyone, but I caught on pretty fast. You never knew what little remark he had waiting for the conversation, but you knew there would be one, followed by that little smile and that you know he just loved to show off. The term family man is not appreciated enough these days. There's more emphasis put on who we are and what we accomplish. Papa, though, was the epitome of how great and unselfish it is to put those in your family and God first. He was always the one to say grace before family gatherings. Even though we were all capable, deep down we knew we wanted him to speak because of the passion he put into each word of grace. I'll never forget, I'd get goosebumps when he would talk about our family and the Lord. Papa will be dearly missed. I hope to someday become half the man he was. Sorry. People like Papa were one in a billion. Anyone who was around him knew his generosity, work ethic, humility, and selflessness. Albert Einstein once said, "Our death is not an end if we can live on in our children and the younger generation, for they are us. Our bodies are our only wilted leaves on the tree of life." So let us celebrate Papa's life and continue his legacy. Thank you, Papa. We love you. We will miss you. That's it.
Well, I'm Denny's pastor, Will Custis, pastor here at Trinity Bible Church, Denny and Judy's pastor. And I want to use my time to give a eulogy, just give some facts and figures mostly about Denny's very full and interesting life. And then, of course, turn to God's Word. Dennis Ralph Wilcox was born on July 26, 1942 in Portland, Oregon. He was the oldest of four children, and he went to Central Catholic High School. After high school, Denny enlisted in the Navy. That was 1961, and he served on board of a submarine, went out. I know they went to Japan and went to base at Sasebo, and he spent time out in the depths of the ocean on board the sub. Denny loved it. He was a good worker. And well-liked by all the other guys that he served with, and he just thoroughly enjoyed his time in the Navy and especially on board the submarine. After the Navy, Denny opened a painting business in Washington, and it did very well. And it brought him into the world of building and homes, and he got to know all the other builders and the people in the field. And so eventually Denny became a builder himself. He was a very careful builder. He wasn't interested in squeezing out all the profit, but he was always very much aware that he was building someone's home and wanted it to be done right. And so that's the way in which Denny worked. He was built a number of homes. I think some of them are pictured back there in the back, and so learned the whole business from start to finish. He built bleachers in the Coliseum when the Blazers used to be playing in the Coliseum, and so he'd go to the home games, and that was a time when it was an exciting time to be a Blazer fan, too. I remember that, but Denny was involved with that. And the Lord brought Judy into Denny's life, as well as Michael and Chris, and they married in 1975, so they've been married for 47 years. Denny was involved in Amway and met some devout Christian men that were there, and Denny had some spiritual questions about problems in his life, and so these men especially directed him toward the Bible, and they told him, you're going to find your answers that you're looking for in the Bible. And so Denny took their advice. He began reading the Bible for himself. And he really never looked back from that. During that time, one of those men told Denny and Judy that they needed to be going to a church that preached the gospel and that preached the Bible, and that he only knew of this man only, I don't think he was from this area, but he only knew of one in the area, and that was Trinity Bible Church and the pastor Dwight Custis, my grandfather, now with the Lord, now with Denny as well. And so that's the one he recommended. He told him, he gave him very specific instructions. He told him to go to that church for a month, whether they liked it or not, and to stick it out for a month, and to sit the third row from the front. That was very specific instructions. And I guess that was near where my grandparents sat, too, so that was a good connection. So Denny and Judy went to the church. As they were told, they stuck with it. They obeyed the instructions. They didn't love everything about the church. It was very different from them and from their background. But they stuck to it, and the Lord used that to save them, to bring them to the Lord. Denny was saved before Judy, but Judy remembers a time, I think during that time, when Denny and Judy looked at each other, and it was after a sermon that my grandpa preached on Romans, a sermon on the gospel, and they looked at each other with tears in their eyes, and they said, could these words really be true? And so the Lord brought them to salvation in that way. The Lord brought the fruit of the Spirit out of Denny's life. Denny loved life. He loved people. He loved his family. He loved the Lord. Loved his church. Denny was not afraid or ashamed to be a witness, and so he was outspoken and to people that he would meet and tell them about the Lord, tell them about the gospel, and I think also do it in a very compassionate way, a very loving way. Denny wasn't checking off a list or something to be an evangelist, but had a heart for the people that he was ministering to. Denny was a hard worker. He had a busy life. He had a lot of interests. He was interested in sailing. He liked to talk about that too. He was part of the Rose City Yacht Club. He was involved at, in racing offshore for sailing for 5 days at a time offshore. He knew how to sail and how to navigate by the stars, and went and was able to go to the San Juan Islands with sailing. He loved horses, loved puzzles, crossword puzzles, and was a great storyteller. I'll remember Denny with a smile and with a twinkle in his eye. He was a lot of fun. He was also, I'll remember him as being very kind and having a very tender heart toward the Lord and toward the Lord's people. Denny was the chairman of the building committee here at church, looking for a building of our own. And so that's something that I wish Denny would have lived to see, is for our church to go into a building of our own. I know that was important to him, but I have a memory of him leading a men's meeting at church related to the building and all the men being there. And I just remembered it fell to Denny to lead the meeting since he's the chairman of the building committee. But I just remember him not only leading a good meeting, effective meeting, but also enjoying it, you know, enjoying leading the meeting. And it was fun for me to see. On Thursday, October 20th, last month, Denny was working hard on Corbels, which is the latest successful business. It's the kind of one of the finishing touches, a decorative thing on the houses. And he was working hard. He came in experiencing heart trouble that became severe. He went to the hospital. He lost consciousness and did not regain consciousness, and died the next day, Friday, October 21st, in the hospital. The Lord Jesus called Denny to himself and into his loving presence. Denny's death was very sudden for Judy, for family, and for all of us who loved him, but it was our God's sovereign, perfect timing, and Denny's race was a run. And so we who are believers share in the same hope that Denny had, which includes the hope of Christ. It includes the hope of meeting Denny again. And so the parting that we grieve, and we do grieve, is temporary, and that's the hope that we have in Christ. Well, at a time like this, is a time to turn to God's Word and to see what the Lord has to say and to have words of comfort from the Word of truth. And so I wanted to turn your attention to a scripture. Jonathan's already read it. It's John 14. It does speak about building, and it speaks about a place. Speaks truly about this place, and it's the place where Denny is now. And in fact, the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples about this place. Let me just read these verses. I know you've heard them. You can hear them again. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Scriptures tell us that the Lord Jesus was the son of a carpenter and was a carpenter himself. And so, like Denny, knew what it was to build things and to build things for other people. And so at a time of distress, and that's what it was for his disciples at this moment, Jesus had just announced to his disciples that he'd be taken from them. He'd be taken from them that very night. They didn't know this, but all of them were about to flunk their final exam and to abandon him at the time that he needed it the most. And so he spoke comfort to them at this time. And he began to speak about this place. And he began to speak about what kind of place it was. He spoke to them in sort of homey terms, literally, and terms they wouldn't fail to understand and remember and even hold on to even after the darkness had prevailed and it seemed like all was lost. And so he began to speak to them about this place that he was going to prepare for them. And what kind of place is it? How does he describe it? He describes it as a place of welcome, the Father's house, place of family welcome, a place of belonging, and a roomy house. And that's the place where Denny is. That's a good description of the place where Denny is now. The It says, in my father's house are many dwelling places, or a familiar translation is many mansions. What it really says is many abiding places. And he uses that same word that the Lord uses later as he speaks, continues to speak to his disciples and tells them, abide in me and I in you. And so when Denny closed his eyes and opened them in the presence of the Lord Jesus, Denny received a welcome at that moment that he already knew, a welcome that he was already familiar with. He was already abiding in Christ. And that welcome came to reality for Denny. And the Lord speaks of that place. The place he's preparing is a place of welcome for Denny. I know Denny was looking forward to that. He told me, and he told me recently, I wish I remembered a little bit more of the specifics of the conversation he told me right over there. But the gist of it was that he was looking forward to being with the Lord. And it's not that he was tired of this life in any way, but he was looking forward to be right in the presence of the Lord that he loved and served. And so Denny was already abiding in the Father's house, in a place of welcome. And that's where he is now. The Lord told his disciples, he said something a little unexpected to them when he was talking about this place that he's preparing for them. It's a place of welcome. It's a Father's house. It's a place for you. It's a place where there's room for you. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you because I love you. And so if it weren't a place of welcome for you, my people, my disciples, I would have told you myself. But in reality, it is a place. It's truly a place of welcome. So that's the kind of place it is. It's a place of homecoming. And that was my first point. Forgot to introduce all three of these points. But my second point is, how this place was built. How this place was built. It's a place of welcome, but how was it built? How was it built? And Denny was interested in building. The Lord is interested in building, although this is a different kind of building to build in this place. And it's in this passage, it's actually in just two words, two small words, but they're packed with meaning. Verse 3, or actually verse 2, for I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And the Lord meant by that, not just that he was going to prepare a place, but it's how he went that prepared this place of welcome. And he means by way of the cross and by way of resurrection. That's what he's talking about. That's what he said when he said, I'm going, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And so this place of welcome for the Lord's people, for Denny himself, is a place that's made, that's built by the cross. It's the house that the cross built, and it can be built in no other way than by the cross that pays the penalty for sinners, the penalty before God that sinners deserve, like Denny, who was a sinner. He was not able to qualify for this place based on what he's done, but it was a place that's paid for by the cross, that was built by the cross, and that's the only way that sinners like Denny can be there, or like me, or like you. And there's no other way for us to come to this place, as the Lord Jesus says, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to this place of welcome in the Father's house except through me, and especially through the cross and the resurrection. If there was some other way to be saved, some other way to find a welcome, for sinners to find a welcome with the Father, then God made a huge mistake by sending his Son to the cross, and the Son made a huge mistake by going there. But there's no other way than to abandon all hope of deserving any welcome with God by what you've done, not only at your worst, when you've disappointed yourself, but even at your best, when you think you've done well. You have to abandon all hope in that and trust completely in Christ, trust completely in a substitute of a Savior. Denny's already there in this place of welcome, but he would want me to tell you that there's only one way to go there, and that is to abandon all hope in yourself, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the penalty paid, and as you participate by faith in his death, a gruesome death that he suffered in the place of sinners. You also participate by that same faith in the power and in the love of his resurrection life. And it's a power and a love that will endure forever, that will overcome sin, Satan, and death, and that can never be taken away from you. And that's true of Denny. And may that be your hope as well. So what kind of place is it the Lord built for his disciples? A place of welcome. And that's what Denny experienced on that Friday when he went into the presence of the Lord. How was the place built? It could be built in no other way. It was built by the cross and by the resurrection of Christ. And how is the place filled? And that's verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Just as the resurrected Christ, after the disciples' worst moment, after their worst failure, the resurrected Christ went and found them and appeared to them and came to them. So also, he goes and seeks the worst kind of sinners to belong to him forever. And so it's not as if Christ builds this house, this wonderful house, by his death and resurrection, and then sits in front of it and folds his arms and waits to see who's going to come to the house. No, he goes out. He goes out to give the blind eyes to see, to give the deaf ears to hear, and to give the unwilling a desire to come to Christ and to be saved. And so for those who are hopelessly lost in sin, there's no other way than for Christ to do it all. Not only to build this house of welcome, but to go out and to find lost sinners and to bring them in to himself. Christ is the shepherd who leaves the 99 and he goes out and searches for the one who's straying, and puts him on his shoulder and brings him back rejoicing. And Christ is the one who tells his servants to go call not the deserving to the feast that he's prepared, but to the poor and to the crippled and to the blind and to the lame, and to compel them to come in so that, he says, so that my house may be filled. So that's what he did for Denny. He called him to salvation, called him to this feast of salvation, and then he guided him all the way home. And he was faithful to him till the very last. So may the Lord comfort each of you. Judy, may the Lord comfort you in the days ahead, and the rest of the family. We love you. And the whole church loves Denny and Judy. It's an expression of the Lord's love. And may the Lord comfort each one of us who are loved ones of Denny in the days ahead. Well, let me close with this. Kelly's already read from it, but it's the hymn. It's a hymn, and everybody knows at church that Denny loves this hymn, and really can't sing it without shedding a tear about it. I think it expresses a lot about just Denny's testimony. But it's also a hymn about a place, kind of like my message from John 14 and the Lord's words. And so what kind of a place is it where Denny is? It's a place of power and a place of love. And that's how this place is described, how sweet and awful is the place, with Christ within the doors, while everlasting love displays the choicest of her stores. While all our hearts and all our songs join to admire the feast, each of us cry with thankful tongues, Lord, why was I a guest? And I think that expresses Denny's heart very well. He never really got over that, and I think he never will in all eternity. Why was I included in this? And so that's the question. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter where there's room? When thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. Well, there's an answer to the question that's given in the hymn. 'Twas the same love that spread the feast. It's love that built this house of welcome by the cross. But it's the same love that spread the feast that sweetly drew us in. Else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. And so that's what the Lord did for Denny, calling him in to this salvation. And then finally it leads to this last verse. We long to see thy churches full, that all the chosen race may with one voice and heart and soul sing thy redeeming grace. And that's why I want to end this part is by us with one heart, with one mind together, singing the redeeming grace of Denny's Savior, and I hope your Savior as well. And so let's bow together in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the redeeming grace of Christ. And we know that this means that Christ's favor is given to the undeserving, even to the ill-deserving. And Father, we thank you for your grace towards Denny and calling him to Christ, calling him to salvation. We thank you that your Holy Spirit went and sought him and brought him to what Christ had done for him and forgave his sins. Father, we thank you that Denny's sins are forgiven and then gave him the gift of eternal life and the gift of eternal joy, eternal fellowship with you. Father, we thank you for guiding Denny each step of the way in his life. And we thank you for the many lives that Denny has touched for all eternity. And we thank you for this time to remember him. We thank you for Denny's salvation. We pray that you'd continue to use the testimony of Denny's life to call us to salvation and to trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Well, we're going to close this morning by singing It Is Well With My Soul on the back of the booklets, a hymn of the glorious peace that those who know their sin being forgiven through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for them. We're going to sing the third verse a cappella, so when you hear the piano stop, don't panic. That's planned. And in the refrain, we'll have all of the men sing the first It Is Well, and then in the response, all the ladies will sing the second part of that, and the same with My Soul for the primary and the secondary there as well, and then we'll all sing the final line of that refrain. And hopefully that's clear, and we'll see how it goes. But as we close, let's stand together and we'll sing this hymn, third verse, a cappella.
My sin.